My name is Brent Jenkins. This is my wife, Kristen Jenkins. And so this is the workshop for internationals. And what I'd like to do before we get started is maybe we'll just go around and share our names, where we're from. If you want to say anything else about yourself, since this is a small group, we can talk and ask questions. So please feel free. Anything as we're as we go through the lesson and talk and learn, ask questions and let's try and learn together, okay? So I'm Brent. This is Kristen. Mm-hmm. Do you want to? We'll just go around this way.
All right. This is Ping from Southeastern, sophomore, majoring in aviation. Want to be a professional pilot one day. And to know about Jesus for like about approximately 4 years already, and I'm still learning.
Yeah. Great, thank you. That's great.
My name is Christian. I'm from Puerto Rico. I'm from Southeastern Oklahoma State. My major is occupational safety. In the future, I want to be work in the environmental safety area. And I've been knowing God now for a year. And I really appreciate what He has done in my life, especially bringing me to this country, because not a lot of international students back home, they don't have that opportunity. So I really thank Him a lot for that.
We're just going around sharing our names and where we're from, a little about ourselves. My name is Brent, and this is my wife, Kristen. So, did you have anything else you wanted to say? I know you were...
What I basically said...
Okay.
I thank God for bringing me here and bring me here to Colorado, meeting new people, learning from their experiences.
Yeah. That's awesome.
My name is Laura. I'm from China. And I'm a graduate student in OCU and we... that's it.
Okay.
Yeah, Sherry from China, Beijing. I've been an exchange student to OU, and now this is my second semester here. So actually, I really know God since I come here, so maybe just 8 months or something. But I really love it. I became a Christian during the winter break. So I really want to know more, and I'm still in the process of learning. Yeah. Thank you for everything.
Yeah.
I'm glad to know you all.
Thank you, Sherry.
Yeah. My name is Alice. I'm from Auburn City University. I've been here for 2 years, almost 3 years, and I'm taking my undergraduate here, and I'll be a graduate until this semester. Now I'll keep my master's degree of accounting in OCU also. And I spent the last spring break at Colorado Springs and come to see other Christians here to learn about the culture of America.
Great. Thank you.
My name is Homi from China. You can call me Brian if you want.
Okay.
And I study at OCU, a minor school business. My major is MBA. And I've been in the United States about a year. I came here for God's Word to learn more about Bible.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it.
Good. Thank you.
Anyone from Norman, just give myself for Jesus 3 months ago. I've been America for 6 months. Just want to learn more about gospel.
Yeah.
My name is Ellie. I'm from South Korea. I'm graduate school student of OCU. I'm just a major student. I think this will be a good chance to learn more about the God more deeply.
Yeah.
I'm Alpha. I'm an exchange student from Hong Kong. So I'm studying in OU. I'm a business student, and I've been knowing God for 8 years.
Okay. Thank you. Junior. Yeah.
My name is Sean. I'm from OU. I'm from Texas also. I'm not an international
student. So you're international, right?
Close, yeah.
It's a different, another country.
I'm welcome too. But, I've known about God since I was very little, but I got more in depth with God and more fully understood who He was when I was a senior in high school. So about 5 years or so now.
Okay.
When I really started versus when I actually said.
Okay. My, oh.
Yeah.
Would you like to introduce yourself here?
Oh, sorry. I'm Peter Axel from Oklahoma City. I was born in the territory of Alaska back before it was a state. So that's how I qualify as being international.
Well, you are welcome here.
Awesome.
Great. My name is Brent. Brian and Alice, if you want to come into the circle, you can. You don't have to feel like you're... Yeah, please feel comfortable.
Yeah. The extra.
There are more in here.
Okay.
Well, just a little bit about my story with Jesus. I grew up in a family that my mother would take me and my brothers to church. I have two younger brothers. We would go to church every week, but my father did not go to church with us. He did not believe in God, and still does not. But my mother, she loved Jesus, and she wanted to teach me and my brothers about Jesus. So for many years, I would hear from the Bible, hear speakers like we are hearing here at Glen Eyrie speak about Jesus and His love and how He wants to have a relationship with us. But for most of my life, it didn't mean anything to me. It was just information. I never gave my life to Jesus and started a relationship with Him until about the middle of high school. I was about 16 or 17. And so many things in my life at that time were going bad. And inside, I felt so empty. I needed some answers to life. Does that make sense? So for the first time, I started reading in the Bible and started reading the words of Jesus for myself. And I was amazed at His love and how He offers forgiveness to me and how He offers me abundant eternal life. And He wants me to follow Him and trust Him. And so one night I was in my room, I remember, and I just said, Jesus, I don't really know everything that I need to do right now, but I want to give my life to You. And that was the start. And from there, it's been a process, and I've been growing. Like many of you have said, you're growing, and it takes time. But I've never regretted that moment where I said yes to Jesus. And it started by just learning from His Word. And we're gonna get into that. Do you want to share real quick your story?
Yeah.
Okay.
I grew up in the same town as Brent and also grew up going to church with my family. And all my life, I thought I was a Christian. I thought because I went to church and I was kind of a good kid, I was a Christian. And it was in middle school when I realized I had no peace in my life because I was trying to please people and I always let them down. I couldn't always do things right. And so I had heard in church about how God wants a relationship with me. And I was thinking, well, because I go to church, don't I have that? And they explained and said that only through Jesus can you have a relationship with God because He has paid for all your sins. So I realized early in high school that I had never asked Jesus to forgive me, to forget my sins so that I could return to a relationship with God. So I asked Him to do that, and then I had peace. I realized Jesus has done that work for me of pleasing God, and so I can have that relationship with him. And so that was high school, and he's really taught me all through college, was involved with the BCM or BSU at Oklahoma State, and even now as I'm a graduate student and helping with the BSU, just how he's the only thing that can give me peace, and it will last forever in a relationship with him.
So,
and we've both traveled some different places. I've studied abroad in China for 6 months, and I was there also for another summer for a trip, and I really love that, just getting to see his work there too is amazing. So
I forgot to say, I've spent 2 summers in China, and I love international students. We met many Koreans when we were also in China. Sean also has been to Thailand, right? So we read in the Bible how God wants people from every nation to know him and have a relationship with him. And so I know, Alice, when you said, you've come to America and you're learning about Christianity here, I just want to share with you all that Jesus is he doesn't just want relationships with Americans. He wants relationships with everyone in the whole world. And actually, I've heard there's more Christians in China than in America, because there's so many people in China. But so maybe Jesus is more for Chinese people. But we just want you to know, we love international students because Jesus loves all people. Mm-hmm. And so we're very excited to get to be here with you.
And we're international students for a while.
Yeah, and when we were in countries, we were like you. We were in another land.
So which city do you have been in China?
Shenyang.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I got to travel to Beijing, but not for long, only a week. Not long enough, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Well, it's really cold.
Yes.
Yes, in the winter.
It was really cold.
We were there in the summer.
I was there in the winter.
It was
though,
nice.
Too.
Oh, yeah.
Freezing.
Well, let me, what you have here, what this is, let me explain the purpose of this. This is a summary of the story of the Bible, okay? So some of you are saying you want to learn about the gospel, learn about God's word. As you continue to read this, we want this to help you understand a summary of the whole Bible. And it explains the story of the gospel and the story of Jesus. So hopefully, What we want is for those of you who have given your life to Jesus and you've trusted in him as your Lord and your Savior, we want to help you and equip you to understand more fully the story so that you can share with your friends. So you can take this with you. And I hope you can, as you read this, maybe spend time later maybe reading it more so you can share the same thing with your friends, okay? For those of you that are not sure if you want to give your life to Jesus or you're still just trying to learn, we hope that this will do the same thing, that it will explain the story of the Bible and maybe answer some of your questions. And so we're going to read through this together, and if some of you are comfortable with reading, we'd like you to do that also. And we can pause and have time to ask questions or if you guys have thoughts. Does that make sense? Is that good? Okay. I'll start. We'll start with part one. So this is the summarized story about the one true God and his relationship with all the people of the world. This story is from a book called the Bible. The Bible did not come from men. The Bible is the word of the one true God. The one true God is more powerful than any ancestor, person, government, or God that people worship. Now, let me ask a question just as we think about that. If if this is true, that this isn't just some other story that men wrote, this is God's word, how should we treat this? How should we respond to this? What are your thoughts?
Learn every word from the book.
Learn it, yeah. That's good.
Yeah.
Well, usually for me, just try to find out answer.
Mm-hmm.
There, you've added some, like, usually we had a, like, worship Sunday. And if something I don't understand, I go back and read it again, try to find an answer, try to figure out what Jesus tried to say to us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I'm doing the most thing with the Bible.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. Mm-hmm. Brian, what were you going to say something?
I just want to say that must be the most precious gift that we have.
Yes. That's great. Did you have anything else you wanted to say with that? Okay.
So
Brian?
Sorry.
No, go ahead.
No,
please.
I just want to ask that you mean the Bible was actually, it has come from God, but it's written by some disciples, different disciples, their wisdom, use their wisdom to write it together?
Yes. Yeah. In the Bible, it talks about how God's Spirit inspired and used men throughout thousands of years to write the different books. And so, yes, it was human hands that wrote it, but it was God speaking to them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think it should be written by Hebrew, not actually by English, and the first part, do you think?
Right. It was.
So it's like,
yeah.
The disciples just got the God word and read it down to. Mm-hmm.
But they wrote it in their language.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yes.
So the Old Testament was written in Hebrew because that's what the people would have understood, and the New Testament written in Greek so they could understand it, and it's been translated to every language from there.
Yeah.
So they wrote it how their people would understand it, but it was still the very words of God, so they were just the messenger to write it down.
Yeah.
So, like the different chapters in this, like Joshua or Luke, or these kind of chapters were named by the disciple who wrote it, or do they have some specific meanings for the chapters?
That is a good question. A lot of times, the names of them were maybe added later, so that we could organize it easily. And oftentimes, the name is the author. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Sometimes not. Sometimes it's named for a different reason.
Okay.
But yeah, the chapters and the numbers, the verses, those were added so that we could, you know, so we can find things easily.
Yeah.
But when they originally wrote it, it was like a story, you know, or they were writing the history.
A letter.
Or Paul, he was writing a letter. Like you write a letter to a friend.
Oh.
He was writing a letter to a group of friends. Yeah. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
That's a good question.
Email
or like an email, yeah.
Yeah.
Right. You probably don't write letters. It's like you're texting.
There you go.
It was Paul's text to a group of friends.
That's easier to understand. Thank you.
Thank you.
Here we go.
That's a good question. Are there any other questions or thoughts about that? Brian, I really love what you said. If this is true, that this is from God, the creator of the universe, this must be the most precious book we have. And just like Louis said, well, we need to learn it and put it into action in our lives. So that is something that's very simple, and I've heard that. People have told me that a lot. Brent, you need to apply this to your life. But you've probably heard that a lot.
Yeah.
It's so crucial, though. I think if we ever forget that I'm supposed to be applying this, we're missing out on what Jesus wants for us. So don't ever let that become. Don't ever get used to hearing that. Does that make sense? Okay, let's keep going. we'll start with part two, created for a relationship with God, and this. This summary comes from the book of Genesis, the first book of the Bible. So you don't have to turn there, but I just want to let you know. Maybe you can mark that, so you can go back and read actually in Genesis. So before there was anything in the world, there was God. The Lord is the creator of all things. When God began to create things, he just used words. He used his words. When God said, "Let there be light," suddenly there was light. He created everything we can't see. For example, he created heaven, and he created angels to worship and serve him. They were very beautiful. He also created everything we can see. So the earth, trees, the animals, the oceans, the sun, the moon, and the stars. And finally, he created people, one man and one woman. And God created everything and saw that it was good. So let's read the next part. God and man in relationship. When God created man, he placed the man and woman in a beautiful garden to live. Both of them had a very good relationship with him and with each other. He told them to take care of the garden and enjoy everything. In the garden, there was one special tree. God told them they could eat anything in the garden, but could not eat from that special tree. If they disobeyed God, God would punish them. The man and woman listened to God and had a wonderful relationship with him in the garden. God created us to have a wonderful relationship with him forever. Do you have any questions or thoughts about what we just read? Did that make sense? Okay. My wife is going to continue to read.
We'll start with part three. People are separated from God. First part on the fall of Satan. Do you remember the angels God created? Well, one of the angels was the smartest and most beautiful. This angel became very proud. He wanted to become higher than God and to have the other angels to worship him instead of God. Therefore, God cast the angel from heaven. We call this evil angel Satan. When God cast Satan out of heaven, Satan persuaded many other angels to follow him and to fight against God. We call these bad angels demons or evil spirits. At the time God cast out the angels of heaven, he prepared a place for them called hell. And the second part on disobeying. One day, Satan came to the garden where the man and the woman were. Remember that there was one special tree from which God didn't allow them to eat. Satan tried to tempt the woman to eat the fruit from the tree. The woman did not obey God. She listened to Satan and ate the fruit. Then she gave it to her husband to eat. Both of them disobeyed God's command. When we disobey God's command, we sin. God is just and he is holy. When people sin, God must punish them. If he doesn't punish them, then he is not just. Therefore, God cast the man and the woman out of the garden, and the people were separated from God. They no longer had a close relationship with God. People and God were now separated forever. Sin caused them to be separated from God, but God still loved them. So just a quick question on that third part. How would you describe sin, or what does it mean to sin from what it said in the story?
Feel like everything that's supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Everything you're not supposed to do.
Like, I mean, just something, you know, there's a, like, rules, like, you're not supposed, just like, for example, like, you're not supposed to drink alcohol in the on campus, and mm-hmm. drinking, feel kind of like sin right here, and mm-hmm. we're just not disobey the rules, and
mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly, or just some other kind, like spiritually, then you like, you know, do something, disobey the God, and mm-hmm. then consider sin. That's kind of sin for me. So
yeah, very good.
I think here from this part, we can suggest to think that sin is just like disobey of God's command or disobey God's word.
Yeah,
didn't follow God's will to do other kind of things.
Uh-huh.
So that's why I think. Should be like the people, like human, were born with things. Actually, mm-hmm. we call it the original things. Mm-hmm. This is the part that I was always confused about, because I've been taught all of these passing years that human were born in good nature. It's like when human was born, they were good. Because of the environment, they can become to do some kind of, you know, the bad things. So these parts just like contract to what I've been taught. So usually find it's difficult to understand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I know this is kind of a funny example, but I think we can see very easily that naturally we rebel and we want to do our own thing. We want to do what is selfish. You just watch children. They naturally do what is selfish. They naturally want to do their own thing and rebel. And parents have to, it's actually the opposite. We have to discipline them and create an environment to help them learn to obey, you know? And you're right. It is very different from what we hear in the world. In Genesis, it describes how when the man and the woman, the first man and woman sinned, and then they had children, that sin was passed on. And not only that, but we make decisions of our own will to disobey God. You know, I mean, we're guilty. I do not obey God like I should. I do not trust God like I should. I do not love people like I should. All these things are what God wants. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So it means we have choice to disobey God. Just like God created a tree that they cannot eat the fruit on tree. Mm-hmm. So the people, human beings, have the choice to do what they want. They have the opportunity to do anything they can.
Yeah.
But you know what is wrong, what is right. It's your choice to do. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You're right. And God. You know, I think it's interesting that God made this tree, and because he made this tree that they were not supposed to eat, it made the opportunity for choice. And I think that shows that God wants us to choose him and say yes to him and choose to trust him. Yeah, that's really good, Alice. Are there other questions or...
I think maybe a clarification. When it says on disobeying, when people sin, God must punish them. If he doesn't punish them, then he is not just. Just so people know what that word just means, God is just and holy, just meaning justice. He does what is right. And there is a right and a wrong, and he decides what is right and what is wrong. He is the absolute good in the universe, and anything that is disobeying him is evil. And so we have the choice to, I mean, what Adam and Eve did, they chose to listen to not God, they chose to listen to Satan, and disobey God, who they were supposed to listen to. And so they did that, and they thought it was okay when it was not okay. So... we need to be very careful in our lives, personally me, to make sure that the choices I make are what God wants, because there's a lot of... Satan is there trying to make me choose what God doesn't want. So.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sometimes we make a choice and we think it's right, it's true, but the result has shown that we're wrong. So sometimes when we make a decision, we have to think about it. It's what God wants.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's kind of like we're right now in college. We just make our own choices.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. You're on your own.
Yeah, you're on
you're
your
choosing
own.
For yourself.
Which, like, maybe for all of us, we don't have our parents here. Mm-hmm. We're basically on our own. We make our own decisions. What is right and what is wrong.
Yeah.
So.
Mm-hmm. That's good. You know... a lot of times, I know this is kind of a side note, but I think when when students go off to college and they're on their own. I think this is such a great time of life to really decide for yourself, am I going to follow God for myself? Or for, maybe for, like for me, I grew up, my parents were like this. But in college, I got to really decide, I want to do this. I want to choose God. You're right, yeah. Okay, you want to continue?
On part four.
Oh, yeah.
Do you think that God knew that people would go against him and then he eat the food from the tree beforehand?
Yeah. Well, I know that God knows everything. Yeah. And he knows the future. So he did know. He knew. I think he knew they would do this.
Then why he has to make the tree, and then don't you think that is add to 10 the people?
That's a good question.
Well, I mean,
no, that's
what
great.
Brent said earlier, God wants us to choose him, because he can create us and say, serve me, and we go, okay, I'll serve you, because, I mean, that's what we were created for. That's our only option. What God wants is a relationship with us where we ask him for things, we serve him, and we do that by choice. And instead of having to do it, being forced to do it, we choose to do it out of joy, and it's a good thing rather than I have to do this. Mm-hmm. Like extra credit work for school. It's extra credit work. It gets you extra points. You don't have to do it, but you choose to do it because you want the points. Serving God, you don't have to do it. You can choose not to do it. Now, the results are a little bit different than extra credit. But you can, you serve him, and you want to serve him, and you want to do that because it's a joyous thing for you. And so God gives us the option of serving him or not serving him, because if he just made us serve him, it's not in his nature. I mean, he doesn't... He doesn't want to force us to do anything. We have that choice. And so he wants us to choose. He will give us options to choose him. And it's up to us in our choice to choose him or not to choose him. So.
And remember, Alpha, that, you know, this first man and this first woman, Adam and Eve, that there was something in the garden, this tree that tempted them. And even though God allowed it to happen and he knew it would happen, that doesn't mean that God tempted them. And we've got to remember that. If maybe a verse you could write down and look at later is James chapter 1, verses 12 through 15. James 1, 12 through 15. And it talks about how God does not tempt us. But when we're tempted because of our own desires. That's a good question. People have asked that question for years.
And they will continue asking.
Yeah, and that's a hard thing. Are there other thoughts or questions about?
I got one.
Okay.
Intended to create the angel and the demon. Lucifer, whatever it's called. Did God create the angel on purpose?
The angels? Yeah.
The particular angel.
Oh, Satan?
Yeah, Satan.
Well, this is the same kind of thing. You know, he knew it was going to happen. He allowed it to happen. You know, God did not want anyone to rebel against him. But people they've made this choice. And
the Bible tells us less about angels and more about people. So we don't have as much information about the angels. We know they're there, and we know some things that happen. But the Bible mostly talks about people and how people relate to God.
That's good.
So it just mentions angels in passing once in a while, but it doesn't give us lots of details. So that question, we don't have a lot of information to answer.
I think another reason is we don't necessarily see angels every day, but we do see people every day. We can relate with people.
Yeah.
And it's the Bible is written for us, so we can use it in our lives.
As you have questions, things like this that the Bible doesn't fully explain, like maybe you want, I just encourage you, trust God that He is good, He knows what He's doing, and one day we'll understand everything that He's doing. Maybe it will be when we're with Him in heaven, right?
Yeah.
In the meantime, just like Sean and Peter said, the things that we do need to walk with Him and to obey His will, those things are abundantly explained. Yeah. Sherry, were you going to say something? Or ask something?
Oh, no,
never mind. Are you sure?
A kind of stupid question.
No. No stupid questions.
Because, you know, I was once read a book which is kind of misleading. It was written by Milton, an English author.
Mm-hmm.
He wrote a book about Paradise Lost. It was like, because it was wrote at the time, described kind of like the paradise, you know, the Adam's Eve's and Eve's sin, just like the Bible said. But actually, it was written at that time. This book was mainly to say something about the revolutionary spirit.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's like kind of, how to say, it's just like to encourage people to take some revolution, just like this kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So when I read this, I was just a little bit, you know, distracted from the right road.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Yeah, mm-hmm. It's kind of like, I know it's written from a different angle, but like for me, it's like kind of confusing.
Yeah.
But never mind.
No, that's a good point, because there are a lot of other books, a lot of other things that speak about, you know, truth or speak about things that the Bible does. And it's nice to know that God's word is 100% true, and we can always go back to that to get the true understanding. Even if we get kind of confused for a moment with something else, we can definitely see the real truth in God's word. So it's nice to come back and always know He's right.
Yeah.
Do you want to read part 4?
Yeah.
Okay.
We'll go ahead and start part 4. Titled, People Can't Come Back to God. It talks about the 10 commands. Over time, the man and the woman had children, and their children had children. God still loved the man and the woman and their children very much, and wanted them to have a relationship with Him. He gave them 10 special laws that we call the 10 commandments to follow. Remember, God is perfect and holy. Therefore, if we want to have a relationship with Him, we must be perfect and holy. The 10 commandments taught people how to relate to God and how to relate to other people. Some of the commands were, do not worship other gods or make idols, respect your parents, but do not steal or murder. But no one was able to obey all of these commandments all the time. People still disobeyed God and were still separated from God. They still sinned and therefore could not have a relationship with God on their own. But God still loved them. And so just a question, can anybody follow all of those commands on their own? Are they able to?
No.
No. You can't.
Why not?
I can't either.
Why do you say that?
Because we can. We're not here. Right?
Yeah.
It's true.
Yeah. That's a good point.
I don't even know, what that is, like 10 commandments. I just know some of them, because,
mm-hmm.
like I was smoking, mm-hmm. not quite smoke like that.
Yeah.
And that need a like long process to like change. So.
Yeah.
No, I still can't like maybe can't obey like all of them.
So if yeah, so it was hard to give up smoking,
yeah.
And you know that's just one thing in your life. How are you gonna?
It's really tough thing I make. It's like I started to smoke at 13 years old. Mm. I quit smoke a month before.
Yeah,
just a long time.
Bless you.
Thank you.
And I don't know the exact passage in Exodus, but we could tell him where to find the list of commands. But typically, whenever I think of the Ten Commandments, I can just get to one and remember, I can't follow these on my own. Even one says you can't lie, and I know I've done that. So I just remember, on my own, I'm unable to follow all of those commands.
If you want to look at them, just write this down. It's Exodus chapter 20.
It's the second book in the Bible.
I was going to write it up on the board.
Sorry, which chapter?
20. Exodus.
You got mine now.
Yeah, you're good. You
go. Let me just write it for you real quick.
Yeah.
And it's 21 through what?
21 through 17.
Okay. That's where the Ten Commandments are. Now, these commands summarize really like God's heart, and they explain how we are to relate to God and how we're supposed to relate to people. But there were many, many other commands besides this one. This is just the beginning. So God, and just like Sean was saying, God's holy and he's good. And so a lot of things had to be given to humans. I'll let you continue.
Okay. We'll go ahead to the second part about sacrifices. It says, so every time they sinned, God allowed them to repent or turn away from their sins and sacrifice an animal and offer it to God. The punishment for our sins is death, and God allowed the animal to die in their place. When they did this, they would choose their best animal and shed its blood. Shedding the animal's blood was a sign that they were taking its life in place of their own life. However, people kept sinning and then sacrificing animals and offering them to God to cleanse them from their sins until it became a ritual that they did only out of habit. The ritual was no longer something from their heart. The people sinned more and more, and the sacrifices were not enough. The people were still separated from God. No matter how hard people try, we cannot come back to God on our own, but God still loves us.
Do you guys have questions about this, about how these were the Israelites, the people? This was a long time ago, and they would make these sacrifices. Do you have questions about this? Go ahead.
Sorry. I have a question about like the Ten Commandments, because I once saw a movie about mm-hmm. the Ten Commandments. It's kind of about like Moses follow God's will. Right. So like I'd like to know that Moses, actually he is the disciple of God, or what kind of people he is, he can receive what God think, he can receive mm-hmm. the God's word, mm-hmm. And lead those kind of slaves, go out of those kind of, you know, the rules of the rules of, how to say?
Egyptian.
Egyptian.
Yes.
Right.
To go to God.
Yeah. Throughout the Old Testament, like, God would pick leaders, men to be leaders, and he would speak directly with them. So Moses, if you'll read in other places in Exodus, God would speak He says he would speak face to face with Moses, like a friend. And God would do this. He'd do this with other people throughout the Old Testament also.
So that they could lead God's people.
Yeah.
Prophets. But they were, Moses was like us.
Just a guy.
He sinned against God.
Yeah.
God told him once to do something and Moses wouldn't do it. So Moses was not able to go where he was taking the rest of the people, Israel. So Moses was a man like us, although God chose to speak to Moses.
Okay.
And Moses passed it on. But Moses had the same problem that Adam, the first people had. Mm-hmm. He's had the same problem that we have.
Yeah, that's good.
That's good. You pass it on to us.
Mm-hmm. When I was in China, I heard of some people in China, they would offer a sacrifice. Sometimes not an animal, but maybe they would they would burn something,
burn money
as like a sacrifice to have spiritual blessing. Have you guys ever heard of something like this where you're from? Or
it's actually part of culture. It's like what happened? What happened is like they burn the paper money, which is to heaven. So our ancestor had the money to can spend on heaven.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Sounds like that, right? I know. This is my dad told me. It was like it's like every once maybe twice a year, like you wake up so early in the morning, you had burn the paper money, and it had a like whole table of food. For our ancestor. Yeah.
Can buy some house or something.
Yeah. So they have a nice house living in heaven. So
yes,
kind of like culture. Yeah.
Have any of you others have stories like this, or you know, maybe people in your family even who sacrifice like this?
I experienced a lot. When somebody in your family passed mm-hmm. away. And their children will burn something for their
mm-hmm. yeah. It's kind of custom. Like every one of us living mm-hmm. from China experiences kind of thing.
Yeah. It's part of the culture.
Yeah, it's actually part of the culture. Just like don't really know what that means, but it's just part of the culture. It's like you have to do it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know.
It's like the routine.
Yes, and that's what it became for the people of Israel. It started as it meant something to them, but in time, they just did it. You know, and I think, I can't think of an example in America off the top of my head, but I'm sure in every culture there are sacrifices. People, they try and give up something or sacrifice something to make God happy or to make their ancestors happy. You know, they want to have spiritual blessing, and people have been doing this for thousands of years. We realize there's something wrong. There's a disconnect between us and God, and so we try and sacrifice to make things right with Him. But just like Louis said, we can't. You know, I could burn everything I have, but it doesn't change my sinful heart, right? Still, I will sin. And if God is perfect and holy, and I continue to sin, there's got to be something else that can make me right with God. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. And we'll continue. We'll get there. Do you have other questions or thoughts?
We used to be in the heaven. We used to be human beings belong to God before, right?
In the very beginning. But Adam and Eve, the first man and woman, I'm not sure how long they lived before they sinned. It may have been a little while. During that time, they had a perfect relationship with God. They did eventually. For a time, they didn't.
Yeah, they ate the
But then when they disobeyed God, everything changed.
Yeah, between them being created and then them eating the apple, they were perfect. Mm-hmm. But then they were not perfect.
Does that make sense?
I know that we are not perfect. We cannot be, you know, mm-hmm. we have our shortage. Mm-hmm. We cannot be a perfect man.
Yeah.
So does that mean we can now go back to heaven?
That's exactly where
that
we're headed.
That is a great question.
Yeah,
that's the next section.
Yeah.
Just stick with us. We're going to talk about this, okay?
So, yeah, we've established how on our own we're not going to become perfect and we can't get back to God without somebody's help. And so we can start. I'm not sure if we'll have time to finish all of it.
Do you want to do the bridge?
Yeah, we've got 20 minutes. What do you think?
Like, let's do options. It and maybe we can. What are you thinking?
Bridge would summarize all of it and be really useful. And then we can come back and do this or do it at the next workshop.
Let's do that.
Okay.
I think because, Alice, you brought up a great point.
Question.
So yeah. My wife, she's going to draw a picture to help explain this, okay? So everything we've read, keep it in mind, okay?
So what we're going to do real quick is it's a picture called the bridge illustration. And it's something that it really helps me understand the meaning of the gospel. It's an even faster summary than our story here of what God, how he made us and what he wants from us. And for those of you who believe and want to share this story with others, this is an amazing way to share that with other people. You can just sit down and it's easy to understand. And so it's really helpful. So it kind of starts where we started our story, how in the beginning, this story is all from the Bible, and in the beginning God created man. And they were together, and it was perfect, just like we had said. The man and the woman were in the garden, and their relationship with God was right. It was good. And so God, he's eternal. He has always been. He always will be. And like we've said, he's perfect and holy and just. And that will never change. So that's represented by this line here, how it will go on and on forever. But just like we talked about with the man and the woman in the garden, man chose to sin. He chose to disobey God. And so the relationship with God was broken. And so we can say man, like how we are now, we are separated from God in this story. We are no longer at his side. We are far from him. And so the result of that, the result of our sin, is that eternally we will be separated from him. These lines will never cross. He is here, we are here. And like we've said, There's things we try to return to God, try to be good, but we can't do it on our own. And so some of the things we do try, or people think, maybe this will get me back to God's side. There could be like you're trying to make a ladder of some sort to get back. Maybe you give money to the poor, or maybe you try to do good works. Or maybe, what are some other things? You try to please your family or get a good job, or really anything could be filled in here. All of our human efforts to return back to God, they make us fall short. We don't come close. You see that none of these can make you reach back to where God is. And so God saw this, and this is the part of the story we can cover later. But God saw this separation, and he decided to make a way back for us through his son, Jesus. And Jesus is God. He's perfect, just like him. He's perfect, good, and he was always has been and always will be. He's eternal like God. And so he sent Jesus from heaven to live on earth. And we've heard the stories of how he came, was born like a baby, just like we were, but lived a perfect life. All of those laws that God had made, he kept perfectly. He never sinned. And so when he had grown up and he had taught people about God, he died. Jesus died on the cross so that if we believe in him, we can have a way back to God. So if you've heard the story about Jesus dying on the cross, it doesn't stop there. 3 days later, he came back from the dead. He returned to God's side. So now, there is a path for us to return all the way back to God. And that's through Jesus. So there's only one thing that can bridge this gap. There's only one bridge tall enough to get us there. And so we must believe that Jesus is God and he lived a perfect life. And by dying on the cross, he was able to take our punishment, the punishment we deserved for sinning and disobeying God. He took that and died on the cross, came back to life, and returned to God's side so that we, through him, can too. So if we believe in him and trust in him to save us, we return all the way up to here with God. And what that means is that we are in a perfect relationship with him again through Jesus, and we will live with him forever. Even after we die, we will have eternal life with him in heaven. So that's kind of just the picture of the whole story, I guess, in an even faster form. Do you guys have questions about the illustration?
Always through while dying, we can go back to God. We cannot go back to God when we live.
Well, now, yeah, that's kind of true. Right. So now we're able, like, our relationship with God is restored as soon as you believe in him. So when I was in high school and I decided that Jesus was, he is the only way for me to have a relationship, and I decided to believe in him and trust in him, right then, my relationship with God was restored. So now, daily, I walk with him. I can talk to him. You know, our relationship is clear because of what Jesus has done. And so right now, I live with God's power. I live with understanding his word. And he's given his Holy Spirit to dwell in us and help us understand what God wants us to do while we're still alive. But when we do die, we will be with him forever in heaven. So our relationship will continue from when we believed on earth. Does that make sense? Okay.
That's a great question.
Yeah, that's a good question. Any other questions? Do you think you could share this with somebody? Okay. Good deal. I've found it a really helpful tool. I guess we should get some more paperwork, but you're welcome to copy it off of there. But that's just a really helpful tool, even just to remember for myself. Remember, sometimes maybe I'm struggling with thinking, oh, I'm not good enough to get back to God. Or, you know, I've been really struggling with loving people. I'm not doing what he's told me to do. I can remember that the reason I have a relationship with God is only through Jesus, and that my worth is in him. And he's brought me back to God. So, any other questions?
Do you guys remember when Mike, in the session we just had,
he was talking about how he had, one day he had a very good day, but then at the end of the day, he got these guilty feelings. Can you talk about the accuser? He was talking about Satan, this angel who rebelled against God. Was accusing him, and then he said he remembered in the Bible it talks about the blood of the Lamb has washed him clean, he's forgiven. That's what Kristen's talking about.
See, this is good news for us
before we have a relationship with God, because it shows I can't earn my way to God. But I don't have to. Jesus has made a way for me. But it's also good news. It's wonderful news. After you have given your life to Jesus, you can remember every day I'm forgiven, and me and God have a good relationship, because what Jesus did for me is permanent and it's powerful, and it will never change. And so every day I can have confidence and strength and courage because I know God will never leave me. Not because it's not based on my performance. You know, in a class, in your classes, if you do not perform well, you will flunk, right? But if you perform well, you will pass. You will get an A. With God, some days we do not perform well. Some days we obey Him well. But it does not matter. Whether we are good or bad, He loves us and He holds us as His child because of Jesus. And so that means, let's say I sin today. I do something that I know God does not want. Well, instead of feeling guilty and hiding from God, I can go to God in prayer and say, God, I'm sorry I've sinned. I don't want to do this, but I know You're still with me and You love me because of Jesus. And so I receive, you know, I thank You. I'm going to keep going and keep trying to live for You. Does that make sense? And you have strength to continue on. That's really good. I'm glad you shared that illustration.
Really helpful. I mean, like for this one, for the Jesus coming to the first coming, I mean, so what kind of time that you mentioned, it's like on this part you mentioned about the human's efforts, like the good work or something. Do you mean that when the God say that human try their best to get closer, but they cannot make it, and then Jesus is coming? Or the God say that human corrupted a lot, like to do some bad things, and then He sends Jesus to rescue us. What kind of moment that you mentioned?
That, I think it's both, kind of, because even if we have done one bad thing, we are apart from God, and we need Him to rescue us. But also, people have tried for years, like we talked about with the sacrifices, and even now we do things to try to earn our way back to God, and we can't. And so He sees that and says they still need somebody to rescue them. So it's kind of both ways. He knows that we are apart from Him and that we need Him. And so He sent Jesus as the way for us to return to Him.
Yeah, it's like navigator that you draw you back from life. Like you was deviated, and then they try to guide you back on track. That's why I feel like Jesus.
Very good. Did that kind of answer your question?
Well, oh yeah.
One thing that may, because you started out with the line representing time, and I think that's what you were saying.
Oh, the time. Okay.
So there is a time though where a person dies. And he has to make these decisions before that happens. So there is a sense in which you only have your lifetime to make these decisions about Jesus.
Yeah, it's like this line on the bottom maybe represents your life. Before Jesus, you're trying to be good on your own, trying to honor people on your own, trying to honor God on your own. But then you make the decision to give your life to Jesus. Or, yeah, like Peter said, oftentimes, people, they don't want Jesus. And so they continue on and they'll die and be separated from God forever in hell, separated from God.
So if a person's path, if they're born here and they go and they die right here, they haven't made that decision to know Jesus yet. But for people who are born and their lifetime goes to here, somewhere over here, then that means they've accepted Jesus, because right here, this is, I'm assuming, where we're born is where we're created. And then once we're created, we go on for eternity, which is what this line is,
yeah.
What I'm interpreting as.
Sure. Yeah.
So, like, this is our lifetime. So here you die, you stay separated. If you go past this point, if you become a Christian, you have that access back to God. Is that an accurate representation?
That's a good way to put it, yeah.
So that moves you back to the top line.
Yeah.
You're not stuck on the bottom.
Right.
You get to jump up.
You're with God now.
Yeah. So, and it's not any particular amount of time either. It could be when you're really young. It could be when you're really old. Or, you know, could be anywhere in between.
Yeah.
So, but the sooner the better. Then you have more years to follow Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think we're about out of time. If you guys will keep this, and we'd love for you to come back tomorrow. There will be different teachers. I think it will be Michelle
and David.
Michelle and David. Some of you know David. Some of you know Michelle.
Yeah. David Wilson.
And Michelle DeLuise. And they're going to continue. They'll pick up where we left off.
Yeah. We'll start part 5 and maybe finish it tomorrow. Or...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
And let me just encourage you, because I don't know all of you, or I don't know where you are. If you want to give your life to Jesus, don't wait. You can feel free to talk to us or talk to someone who came with you, a good friend, and tell them about this so that they can pray with you and help you make that decision. Don't wait. It's the best decision I ever made.
Mm-hmm.
And you never know how much time you have. Yeah. And so today, God wants a relationship with you. Thank you so much for coming.
I'm
and
you
yeah,
thank you.
High fives all around.
We really enjoyed this.
Yeah, it's fun.
I think next we have lunch.